Liverpool now. And an update on their transfer targets. The club won't face any action over the Virgil van Dijk affair. It's reported they'd have to pay, though, £70 million for Naby Keita. And a move for Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain has been muted as well. To tell us more, a lot to get through here with the Liverpool Echo reporter James Pearce. Hello, James.
Evening, Salty.
Let's start then with the Van Dijk situation. Any sense of relief, do you think, from the club that they won't face any action regarding this?
Yeah, I think there'll be a degree of relief. I think it probably only confirms what we already knew, really. I think it was pretty obvious a few weeks ago that if Liverpool produced the public apology and publicly withdrew their interest in the player, that that Southampton wouldn't take the issue any further. And, you know, certainly I think, you know, that is obviously what has prevailed today, and Liverpool can look to put that all behind them now.
Yeah. Do you think they will put it behind them, or is there a chance that this could be resurrected?
Well, in terms of any punishment, obviously we know that's not going to happen now. In terms of interest in the player, I mean, it's going to be very, very interesting to see how this one pans out, because obviously with all that's gone on, Liverpool need to be very careful in terms of their next step. You know, they can't be seen to be pursuing him again, I don't think, at this stage. I think what they will hope is that, you know, there becomes a bit of a bidding war as such for Van Dijk. We know that, you know, obviously Chelsea are one of a number of other clubs in for him. And then I think, you know, if Southampton have almost accepted that Van Dijk is going to go, then I think at that stage, I wouldn't surprise me whatsoever if Liverpool don't then become part of that bidding process. But, you know, at the moment, Southampton are adamant that Van Dijk's going nowhere. But, you know, as we know, things can change very quickly in football. And I think a lot will hinge as well on how the player as well responds to being told that he's staying put. You know, obviously there's a new manager in place at St Mary's. You know, will he want to keep an unhappy player if Van Dijk is unsettled, or will Van Dijk knuckle down and just accept that he's got another year on the South Coast?
What is interesting from a Liverpool point of view, James, is if they don't, let's assume they're not going to get Van Dijk now, where are the second and the third choice players that they're going to go for? Because Liverpool at the moment are being linked with players, but there doesn't seem many alternatives if those transfers don't come off.
No, I mean, I think another centre-back we know that they've heavily scouted would be Koulibaly at Napoli. You know, he's another one that wouldn't come cheap. I mean, I think you'd be talking of 50 million plus, possibly even 60 million for him, because, you know, he's another, you know, real highly rated centre back. And as we all know, there's a dearth of high calibre centre backs in European football at the moment, and a lot of competition for the top ones. So he would be one potential alternative. But you know, it certainly would be a blow if they missed out on Van Dijk, because we know that, you know, Klopp was, you know, he was a key part of the kind of jigsaw for Klopp this summer. And you know, having got Salah over the line last week, you know, the hope was that they'd push on, and you know, Van Dijk and Keita would have been the next two on the list. But both of those deals are very problematic in terms of trying to get them done.
Yeah, let's talk about the Naby Keita deal, or not, as the case may be. I mean, you've written today it would take £70 million to get him, and even then it seems that it wouldn't necessarily be guaranteed.
No, I think, to be honest, I think Leipzig have almost put that price on him in the hope that it just completely scares off any interest. Although sometimes clubs come out with things, you know, say things like that, and then you think, you know, well, obviously they'll be able to meet in the middle. But I don't think there'll be any meeting in the middle on this one, because, you know, people I've spoken to close to Leipzig, you know, it's just a different situation to most other football clubs. You know, they're bankrolled by the energy drink giant Red Bull. You know, they don't need the money. You know, Keita is obviously key to them finishing second in the Bundesliga last season. They've got Champions League football this season. And Ralf Rangnick, their director of sport, is absolutely, you know, insistent that they intend to keep hold of him. You know, again, I think Keita, from what I've been told, Keita would be very interested in making the move to Anfield. You know, he shares the same agent as Sadio Mane, but, you know, I don't think he's the kind who's going to be, you know, slapping a transfer request or trying to push the deal through. So, you know, then the onus is very much on Liverpool trying to agree a fee with Leipzig, and you know, unless Leipzig's position changes drastically, you know, it's going to take an eye-watering sum of money, I think, even to get them to the negotiating table.
It would be interesting if they did go in with an eye-watering sum of money, though, wouldn't it? I mean, Liverpool have the capability to do that this summer, do they?
Well, that's been the word all along, that, you know, there was almost like a change of approach in many ways. You know, I think there's been a frustration in recent years, certainly under this ownership, that Liverpool have too often, you know, invested in potential rather than proven talent. And, you know, I think the way in which they broke the transfer record for Salah last week, a player, you know, 25 years of age, to buy him off the second best team in Serie A with his wealth of experience, I think it shows that Liverpool do mean business. It's just, I think this is another, you know, another big step up from that. You know, talking about Salah being up 37 million up front, you know, to, you're talking about almost doubling that, I think, to get Keita, and not far off doubling it as well if they were able to win the battle for Van Dijk. So, the, you know, two huge deals. I mean, the word this summer has been that the money is there for the right calibre of player. So it's going to be fascinating to see how those two pan out. And then, like you said before, if they do miss out, you know, who do they then go for? Because, you know, certainly centre-back and centre-midfield are the two priority areas for Klopp now. And then I think after that comes a new left-back.
Yeah. In terms of the Keita deal, though, my understanding is he would be a lot cheaper next summer, wouldn't he?
He would, yeah. He's got a clause in his contract which means that you can buy him for €55 million in 2018, which I think equates to about £48 million. So, you know, I know when Liverpool's interest first kind of surfaced at the back end of last year in Keita, that Liverpool believed at the time that Bayern Munich were probably their big rivals for him. Now, their interest has gone very quiet this summer, and I'm told that's because, you know, they intend to sit tight, and you know, if he gets anywhere near the standards that he reached last season, that they'd be one of those clubs looking to trigger that clause come next summer.
The back page of the Mirror this morning: Klopp goes ox hunting. Liverpool have made their move for Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. They're saying that Liverpool have approached Arsenal. What do you know about that situation, James?
Well, there's certainly interest there. You know, I don't think it's, from what I've been told, I don't think there's anything imminent on that front. I'm not aware of any new approach there's been in certainly in the last week or so. I know Liverpool have already kind of registered their interest in him. I think what I'm led to believe is it's one they're just keeping a very close eye on. I think they'll be wary slightly about, you know, is their interest being used as a bargaining tool in terms of new contract talks between Oxlade-Chamberlain and Arsenal. I think it's one where, you know, if later on in the window it becomes crystal clear that Oxlade-Chamberlain won't sign a new deal, then you know, I'm told that Arsenal would be looking to sell him rather than risk losing him for nothing next summer. Talking about a fee of around £25 million, Klopp, I think he's a player that Klopp would like to have on board. I think, you know, you can see him fitting in well in terms of, you know, his, you know, he's quick, he's powerful, you know, he's a hard grafter. He's also versatile, playing a number of positions. The one thing that makes me think that might not happen would be the fact that I think Oxlade-Chamberlain, you know, has made it known that he's desperate to become a regular somewhere, and especially ahead of the World Cup next summer. And I think, looking at it at the moment, it's difficult to see exactly where he'd fit into the Liverpool team. I think you'd have him down as what would be an excellent squad player for Liverpool next season, but whether Klopp could give him the kind of guarantees about playing time that he would want, I'm not so sure. So I think that's one that could happen, but I think it would be much later on in the window.
And I must just ask you about Emre Can. What's the situation there? I mean, people are worried that he could end up going.
Yeah, I think there's always concern when a player comes into the last year of his deal, like he's about to at the back end of this week. But, you know, Liverpool's stance hasn't really changed on Emre Can. I think, you know, they're adamant that even if he doesn't sign, you know, I think they're, first of all, to say that they're hopeful that they will become some kind of compromise with him before the start of the season, and that hopefully he will pen the contract. If they don't, you know, there's certainly, you know, it's a very different situation, say, to Ross Barkley across the other side of Stanley Park. I think, you know, Liverpool's attitude to Chan is that even if he doesn't sign, they'll keep him for this season because, you know, they think he's that important to them. And to sell him now, you know, what you'd have to spend to probably get someone of a similar calibre in, they'd rather just take the chance of potentially losing him for nothing in 2018. But, you know, Klopp made it very clear towards the back end of last season that he sees him as a key part of the future. I mean, he played a really important part in Liverpool getting that top four finish. You know, I think there's certainly a financial issue that needs to be overcome in terms of wages. And I think, you know, Chan also, you know, insinuated that he wants some kind of guarantees in terms of his role in the team going forward. But, I'm still, you know, relatively optimistic they'll sort that out because, you know, I think Chan's happy at Liverpool and Klopp, you know, certainly, you know, is very keen to keep hold of him because, you know, at the age of 23 with his wealth of experience, he's, you know, I think he's very important to Liverpool.
Absolutely. Germany have scored, by the way, 2-2. And finally on Sturridge, I think this is still a bit 50-50, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I think it is. I think, you know, again, you know, I thought towards the back end of last season, I thought it was absolutely nailed on, really, that he would move on. I think it probably is about 50-50 now. I think, you know, it's been interesting. There's been very, very little speculation about his future since the end of the season. You know, I think it's one where I could still see him leaving if the right offer comes along, but, you know, that suits Liverpool and suits him, because I'm not convinced that he's going to be happy being a squad player next season, which I think at the moment you'd have to say the first choice front three would probably be Mane, Salah and Firmino. But I think the problem for Sturridge is, you know, where does he go? Because, you know, he a player of his calibre should really be in the Champions League. You know, he's got that if he stays put at Liverpool, but, you know, his game time could be limited. You know, the clubs, you know, mid-table clubs that were mentioned that potential interest in him last season, you know, he's better than that. But I think from Liverpool's point of view, he's a very difficult player to put a value on because, you know, as we saw, you know, when he lit up that game at West Ham towards the end of the season, you know, when he's on it like that, he's a 40, 50 million pound footballer, but because of the huge amount of time that he misses over the course of the season, I think he only started 7 league games in the whole of last season. But, you know, realistically, you're probably looking at only getting half that amount. So I think a lot will hinge on his attitude when he comes back in pre-season. You know, I think certainly Liverpool aren't actively looking to sell Sturridge. But, you know, then if he was to turn around in pre-season and said he wants to go, I don't think Liverpool would be, you know, fighting massively hard to keep hold of him if the right offer came along.